Right, it is 6:08, and I will call this meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. I understand some of you worked very hard to get here. Thank you for those extraordinary efforts. We will begin with approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion?
I move approval of the minutes from the June 16th meeting.
Thank you, Ms. Kirk. All right, Mr. Inman, thank you. All in favor of approving the amendments, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay. We will start with citizens' communication. There's going to be three forms of communicating with the task force today. One is what you've come to know as citizens' communication. We've got some invited testimony, and then there will be an opportunity for those that want to sign up to speak to the city manager search. So there's three opportunities. Sonia, do we have anybody signed up for citizens' communication? Yes. Yes, thank you for saying that. She's back in earshot. Sonia, we were singing your praises for all the hard work you've done to help support this task force. Thank you. Absolutely. And to the whole crew at Human Resources and Public Information. Y'all have done a beautiful job of keeping us organized. All right. We have Robert Matlock is signed up for citizens' communication. Welcome.
My name's Robert Matlock. I'm in Council District 9. The City Council was presented last week with the Electric Utility Commission's working group recommendations for power generation for the next 10 years. Those recommendations advocate that we go to 65% renewable energy by 2027. I actually advocate something a little stronger, 75% by 2027. Either way, we're talking about strong environmental goals. And thus, I think that we need a city manager who has a strong environmental track record. I don't think that Austin Energy has been as responsive to the public as it should be, and let me give you an example. On August 28th, 2014, City Council adopted a goal to reduce carbon emissions from all city generating facilities to zero by 2030. However, that has never been acknowledged on Austin Energy's website or by any of Austin Energy's personnel. I think, in fact, that they are hostile to it. So again, I think we need a city manager who will actually ensure that our utility responds to us, the public. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Matlock. We don't have anybody else signed up for citizens' communication. If you are interested in making comments to the task force around the search for the next city manager, please feel free to sign up. There will be another opportunity for you to speak to the task force. Moving on the agenda, we're going to go through some invited testimony. We're going to begin with the Asian American Quality of Life Advisory Commission. And is Vince Cabalas here? Not yet. Okay, we'll move on. Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, and Queer Quality of Life Advisory Commission, Dr. Victor Martinez. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Victor Martinez. You guys got a copy, I believe, of the statement that our commission approved at our meeting last night. We're brand new. Last night we had our second meeting, and I'm very excited that we were able to put together formal testimony, official testimony for you guys. I will not bother you with going over the exact wording of what we did, but I just wanted to communicate that we want you guys to include in the characteristics for a city manager somebody who understands the issues that affect the LGBTQ community. First and foremost, violence. There is a lot of violence against members of our community, specifically those who are transgender, gender nonconforming, and also of color. Hispanic and African American LGBTQ members suffer from a lot of violence in the community. There is employment and housing discrimination, even though the city of Austin has a comprehensive policy against that. In the state of Texas, it is perfectly legal to fire me from my job because I'm gay. Those things and others cause a lot of poverty in the LGBT community compared to our peers based on the same type of education. Healthcare, social stigma still very much alive, and it causes really bad health problems for especially people who are gender nonconforming or transgender, as well as men or women who are HIV positive. Those health disparities then produce a problem with public health where you have here in Central Texas, we've had a really scary increase in infection rates of HIV on young men. Kids from 13 through 20 have a huge infection rate compared to the state and compared to the national average. It is an epidemic here in Central Texas, so that's something that I hope the city manager will understand and be able to understand what kind of resources need to be invested in things like PrEP, testing, prevention, those sort of things. And last but certainly not least is discrimination in public accommodations. We've all been hearing the debates going on in the legislature about the bathroom bill and all that. Again, people who are gender nonconforming, whenever they have to access services that are gender segregated, have issues, discrimination, not wanting to be welcome, even though they are male or female. They're forcing them really to use the wrong restroom. I know the city is very progressive on that, and I'm hoping that the city manager will be able to react to whatever the legislature comes up with in this next special session. That even if, you know, they invalidate our non-discrimination ordinance and the public access ordinance, that there'll be a way to have perhaps a policy that is not as formal as an ordinance to ensure access to all our members. And that is all I have. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Any questions for Dr. Martinez?
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming. I see Vince Cabalas is in the house. And for those of you that don't know, Vince Cabalas is representing the Asian American Quality of Life Advisory Commission. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here representing the commission. I think it's helpful that you have involved a lot of different groups in identifying the criteria for selecting the city manager. My speaking points are being passed out as well so that you have the ability to see those. I think that the city manager establishes the values that are reflected in all the city employees. I've seen that for many years, both working for the city and outside of the city, that the employees are a reflection of the values of the city manager. So that's why it's so very important. One key characteristic that the city manager, I believe, should have is the value of inclusion and diversity. The applicant should be able to point to examples showing his or her experience in bringing those values to an organization. So I think more than just talk, the actual experience is something that needs to be looked at. The need to adjust to the rapidly changing demographics, which is a major challenge in Austin, Travis County over the next 5 to 10 years. We need a workforce that actually reflects the community, and so it's difficult to keep up with the changing demographics of the community so that that workforce does in fact reflect it. Asian Americans, for example, currently make up about 7% of the population, and that number is increasing. whereas the number of percentage of city employees has been stagnant at 3% for many, many years. So there has to be some innovative ways to better reflect the population as a whole. And I believe that only about 2% of safety net services are accessed by Asian Americans. And there's a number of reasons for that, including culture and language barriers that aren't always reflected in the kinds of outreach that the city usually does. We believe that the city manager should have demonstrated skills and experience in adjusting to changing demographics in other locations or wherever, so that you know that he's actually, he or she has actually got that level of experience. I think it's also important that the city manager has a philosophy that aligns with the city council's strategic outcomes and indicators, which they approved on April 5th. I think a big important thing for the city is consistency. Consistency in long-range planning and consistency in how the city operates. And being tied in with that philosophy that the council addressed on April 5th should be an important aspect of what we look for in a city manager, because we need a long-term and consistent blueprint for the city that works hand-in-hand between the city manager and city council. In 2017, the city made a commitment to improve language access for city information and services. There was a city audit, as well as other reports and indicators that the city needed to do more in language access. The new city manager should be able to find innovative ways to develop and create the language access portals that the citizens need and provide the necessary funding to make it happen, because I know funding is a big issue that we're always faced with, and so it takes some innovation to find ways to do that. This is a multicultural city, and it's important that the city manager builds partnerships with local organizations and businesses that span income, age, racial and ethnic strata in order to build a really strong community. To do that, we believe that the city manager should demonstrate that he or she has the capacity to build a team committed to providing culturally and linguistically sensitive services and information to the community and businesses and social groups within the community. Recognizing the importance of the global economy to support growth, the city manager should demonstrate experience in developing global partnerships with other cities and enable free exchange of ideas and solutions so that we're not working in isolation, but we're actually learning from other communities and growing with other communities, growing together. In addition to the qualities that I've mentioned about for a city manager, we believe that the search process itself must be fair and inclusive. We need a proactive approach to recruiting, not just a passive approach of putting the job description out there and seeing who applies. I think you need to look for qualified individuals that fit the bill and actively recruit those individuals. And I would hope that the search firm has that directive. I would also encourage the search firm to reach out to organizations that serve minority groups to make sure that we have a diverse applicant pool, including the Asian American Government Employees Network, to identify qualified Asian American candidates for the position. These points reflect the most important aspects to the Asian American Quality of Life Commission. You know, knowing that we come from that perspective, you know, there's obviously other factors to consider, including transportation, affordability, gentrification, density, and other issues that affect the community as a whole. And we understand that. But we feel that the city manager, the qualities that we've talked about for the city manager would help address those skills as well. And so, you know, I think that it's transferable to a lot of different aspects with city manager's commitment to diversity and inclusion. Any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Cabalas? Yes, Claudia. Claudia's got a question, and then Jan. Yeah.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for being here. And I was curious, last session that we were in, there was a group from the city of Austin representing the Asian American community. I was wondering, do you all collaborate together? And I was just curious, when was the quality of life established? The commission?
I believe the commission was established in 2013. Mm-hmm. And I think we had our first meeting in 2014. And so we've been involved for a few years. There's a number of other organizations in the community, the Network of Asian American Organizations. We work closely with them to identify what the needs are in the community. And they also provide advice to the commission, as does other groups, the Asian American Resource Center nonprofit and Asian Family Support Services, the Asian Chamber. So the commission is really, hopefully, a location where most of the groups, Asian American groups, can bring issues to, because we are designated, you know, as the voice of the community to the city council.
Thank you.
Jan, did you have a question? If you look at the panel next to you, you want to hit the mic on button.
Okay. It was the same as Claudia's, but I don't think you answered. What was the your connection with Austin Asian Employee Network that spoke at the last meeting?
I didn't realize which group you were talking about.
Yeah.
The Asian American Employee Network is obviously a network of employees. The commission has a human resources work group, and the employee network has a representative on the work group, as well as the city human resources department. So it's a work group that includes commissioners and people from outside the commission. And in that case, it's the human resources and the employee network.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions for Mr. Cabalas? Thank you. It's good to see you. Carla Johnson is here to represent the African American Employee Network. Welcome, Carla.
Hello, good evening. My name is Carla Johnson. I'm the chair for the African American Heritage Network. I'm also the supervisor within the Development Services Department, and I thank you for the opportunity to share with you on behalf today in regards to the input. And I ask that you take deep thought and consideration into what we are presenting to you today. The purpose of AHN is to serve in an advocacy role on issues of importance to African Americans within the city of Austin, to be a communication network for African American employees within the city of Austin, which allows for interchange of experience, ideas, interests that may enhance their careers and personal development through seminars, classes, group discussions, and publications. It's also to promote culture awareness and social awareness. Our executive sponsor is ACM, Mark Washington. And our membership consists of city employees that work across the 20 different departments within Austin. Our next city manager should exhibit the following characteristics: have an understanding of true diversity and cultural awareness. City employees represent a diverse group. We have different beliefs and different values. Our next city manager should value diversity by considering it as a strength and not a weakness. Austin's city manager should be a visionary. Their vision should include an honest look at equaling out the playing field so that all employees can earn a competitive wage across the board. Specifically, the next city manager needs to tackle the different pay disparities. Currently, our African-American males are still the lowest paid within the city of Austin. Our next city manager should also address the unequal representation at several different departments within the city of Austin. This challenge must be fixed. By willing to discuss and come to mediation on racial issues within the city of Austin, this city manager should have the skills and expertise on how to shape diversity, possibly putting some mandatory diversity training in place for our city management team. Tackle issues affecting the employees and the community. There are still racial issues. We still have police brutality. We have mobility and traffic issues still going on. By being transparent and acknowledge these issues that they really do exist. Have a proven track record dealing with some or similar community challenges. Build relationships and business with community leaders and to create partnerships that will enhance the city of Austin. We also recommend bringing in faith leaders from all denominations to assist in building this relationship. The next city manager should have excellent communication skills, a willingness to tackle the tough decisions, but also not only tackle the tough decisions, but also acknowledge that these are decisions that we must face. We also ask that have a group of people to understand and serve that they are to serve the entire community. Most importantly, this city manager should have excellent leadership skills. An effective leader is not one that just has a master's degree, but an effective leader is a person that knows how to lead a group of people and build a relationship. An effective leader must first position themselves to seek understanding instead of always trying to be understood. So at this point, I thank you for the opportunity. I really hope you take into consideration what has been presented before you. And once again, thank you.
Thank you. Bobby, do you have questions for Ms. Johnson?
Sorry, there we go. In broad agreement with the bulk of what I heard, I have a question of fact, just to make sure I understood. People having the same jobs, same level of performance, there is a disparity in the pay.
Yes, sir. We did, and I'm sorry I didn't get the numbers for this year, but the latter part of last year, we asked for numbers. And when we looked at those numbers across the board, the African-American males were still the lowest paid, and not in just one particular job. They were just still the lowest. They were beneath everyone else.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Any other questions for Ms. Johnson? Claudia.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for being here. When you mentioned the jobs, I was just wondering, is it across the board from high-level management?
It's more so in the field service, our Austin Resource Recovery. But we've noticed that in the across the board that they are still, you know, the lowest paid across the board in that. And Georgia may be able to give me a little more information on that.
Good afternoon, Task Force. Joya Hayes, Human Resources Director. We did an analysis, and we can provide those analysis to you. For every quality of life group, what we did was not only acknowledge the percentage of representation for all of our communities of color, but in that we also looked at median pay. So what we found is that for African-American men, Ms. Johnson is absolutely correct, they represent the highest percentage in our lower level positions, which are more operational positions. And when we looked at overall pay, the median pay for African Americans was the lowest pay, and that's attributed to their larger representation in the more operational positions. And so to understand that fully, we can provide you the same information we provided all of the quality of life so that you can understand for all of those representations what that looked like in different positions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Next, we have Anthony Marquardt. Did I do that right? Representing Austin Travis County EMS Employee Association. Welcome.
Good evening, Task Force. My name is Anthony Marquardt. I'm president of the Austin Travis County EMS Association. I've been a paramedic for over 20 years and have worked in Austin for 18 of those years. I've served as president of our association for three terms and have navigated through a couple of contracts and have been involved in various safety issues and community-related efforts. I've been a part of the Sobering Center. I am on the governor's task force on infectious disease and am involved in host program, and which is homeless outreach, and some other avenues that we work through, including our community health program, which is working with Central Health and the 1115 waiver to engage people in their homes and to start to bring mobile integrated health into perspective. Glad to join you today. I'm interested for sure in the next city manager, and I thought it was really remarkable the approach that we're taking. The seriousness of this opportunity that we have in place is something that I appreciate being able to talk about. I think the attributes, I think, have been covered fairly well. And so when I look at the three questions in the survey that people are asked to respond to, the first two are related to attributes or related to somewhat of a personality definition. And while that is important, I think looking at the history of that I have experienced with city management is that it's probably far more important to identify the metrics of performance. So what are the performance expectations that we would want out of departmental heads? That's an ongoing struggle we have with the current managerial system. There's pros and cons of our current system and our former manager. But what we have now is a lack of definition when it comes to the metrics of performance. Specifically, when department heads roll into city council and ask for funding in any given budgetary session. The 10-1 council for the first time is looking at a 5-year plan versus a year-by-year plan, and I think that's relevant, and I appreciate seeing Mr. Spellman on the dais here. So I think that when we look at the first couple of questions, I'm far more interested in the expectations of performance. And then question number 3 goes on to talk about the 5-year plan. Now, I alluded to some of that in my introduction, which is for public safety and specifically EMS, we are in a very we're in a situation with healthcare reform changing and our delivery model changing, and with the Central Health and the new medical school, we're finding that the face of healthcare is going to change very rapidly. Technologies are in place now that we're beginning to utilize with mobile integrated health, with telemedicine. We've recognized the shortage of physicians in the United States and the Austin region, and we recognize how well paramedics fit the needs in that area. Being a delegated practice, we can work with our physicians to go into the community to inoculate, to work on preventative care, and we've started to pioneer a lot of that. So our metrics of performance in the city of Austin when it comes to EMS are the top of those scales when it comes to our national outlook. We have the highest level of survivability. We have our survivability on stroke stats, cardiac arrest, and trauma are all where they need to be. This has everything to do with our frontline staff and their training, and very little to do with the city management or the upper management of our department overall, whose primary function is to make sure that we have the equipment we need to continue to roll forward and maintain those stats that we find so important. The next step for City of Austin is working with a new medical director, which we're glad to have, and introducing to council and defining for them what this should look like with the next city manager. We would want someone that has a background in minimally something to do with emergency management, public safety, an understanding of the dynamics of central health and injured care, of just some basic financial sense of what it means to have disparities within our community. East of 183, as Councilmember Houston has pointed out, has very little in the way of preventive healthcare or healthcare at all. And I think that we can start, as the City of Austin, working with Central Health to make good on some of those promises that the medical school was sold on. With that, having a city manager engaged in that process with that background would be very fortunate. The other thing I found lacking or desirable in the next city manager would be a basic understanding of labor relations. The City of Austin has three labor groups that we'll be talking to you tonight, and I believe the Firefighters Association will join you at another occasion. But with having contractual relationships with the City of Austin, I think has established some very good safety protocol issues. It's given us a mechanism to address differences between city management in a formal way. And if you want to look at establishing the best metrics for the future of city manager, I think it's relevant to look at what we have already. We have ethics and integrity, the 5 years of ethics and integrity reports, the work of the auditor. What is still relevant in the work of the auditor? We've audited a bunch of departments, and there are still deficiencies to this day. So retrospective analysis of that while establishing the metrics, I think, would be important and worthwhile. I appreciate your time today. I'm glad to take any questions. And I hope when we're looking forward to this next step, we'll be able to share, what exactly we're defining for City Council, so that hopefully in somewhat of an open forum, City Council will establish what their metrics and expectations will be for this person, rather than having someone come in and just describe meeting the minimal elements of the personality we'd like to see. These are the elements we'd like to see, and we'd like to see quarterly performance reviews of those performance metrics once established. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes, Julio.
Thank you for your presentation. Let me turn on my mic.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you again for your time. I'm just really curious. Do you have a bundle of suggested metrics that you presented policymakers in the past?
Yes, actually. The metrics of performance is something that I have in the public forum been since the 10-1 Council I've been very vocal about. It was what I've, before the Public Safety Commission, the former Public Safety Committee, and for council at large when they took the dais in their first few months, I advocated for having these metrics of performance established prior to moving forward with just simply hearing metrics of performance from a departmental head standpoint. I think we miss a lot from that. Mayor Adler and the Public Safety Committee began that journey. We have an example of the monthly reports for public safety anyway that I felt would be relevant, and I can certainly share the bullet points of those and include the videos available and hopefully get those to a manageable so you're not sitting through hours of videos. I think I have already created the links of my presentations on that matter.
I would greatly appreciate it if you would forward that information to our staff, as I will review it in preparing my feedback to the task force. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be very glad to do that and excited if anyone reads it. Also, I believe, would you all have the city email addresses established at this point?
We do.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Marquardt. Any other questions? All right. Representing the Austin Police Association, we have Kenneth Cassaday. Welcome.
Thank you for allowing me to be here today. Let me first start off by saying that I agree with everything Mr. Marquardt just laid out. I'm Ken Cassaday, president of the Austin Police Association, and I've lived here in Austin for 21 years now. I live in the city of Austin. I've been a detective for the last 7 years, I've been the president of the Police Association for the last three, and I'm proud to represent all 1,900 police officers that we have working in this city. We only have 10 non-members of our association, and we're very proud of that. I'll be very short and brief. We want a city manager that has a vast working knowledge of public safety, police, fire, and EMS. We here in the last 5 years, we've worked with assistant city managers that did not have a working knowledge of public safety before they started working with us, and it's been a challenge. So at the least, a city manager that has experience working with public safety. One of the big issues we're facing now, I know this has been an issue with city council for the last 10 years. We believe we're understaffed. Our city council, before the 10-1 council, had the PERF study. We just had the Matrix study come out. And both studies that the city has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on have shown that we're drastically understaffed. That is a top priority for us. Depending on which study you look at, we're 200 to 300 officers short. And then you throw in the officers that we're short right now, just being what we're already allotted, it's more around 350 officers. We're at the end of this year, we should be fully staffed with what we've been allotted. But again, these studies have said we need to get way past that. And again, the PERF study and the Matrix study, I encourage you to look at both of them. Both have stated that we are far behind. And the gentleman that completed the Matrix study for the city said that we're the worst staffed police department in the United States. And he's done numerous studies. And that's our top issue. We want someone that's an active leader. One thing that I always appreciated about City Manager Ott was he came to all of our officer-involved shootings. It didn't matter if it's in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the morning, he was at all of them. And I appreciated that. We didn't always agree on the outcome, but I appreciated him for being there. And I thought that was great. He had a vast working knowledge of public safety from prior experiences. He worked with us. Again, we didn't always agree. We're not going to always agree. But that was always appreciated. And he always had a good working knowledge of what he was talking about because he was actually there. And he would stay there with us until the investigations are completed. So that's the type of active leader I'm talking about. The city is run now by several department heads that are interim. We need a strong leader to come in and set the bar for where everyone needs to be at, because it just feels like right now just the city's just floating along. And and don't get me wrong, I think that our city manager now, Elaine Hart, has done a fantastic job. She's been an employee with the city for, I don't know, 30 years now. I'm not sure how long, but I think she's done a fantastic job for what she's been stuck with. Last time I talked to her, I know she's ready to retire, so I hope we can keep the ball going. A city manager has experience working with labor groups in a positive manner, and one that communicates. One area where I just complimented Mr. Ott, one area where I would criticize him is that I didn't feel like he communicated enough with his employees. He was, to me, a hard person to communicate with, and I'd like someone that can communicate with their employees a little bit better than we've had in the past. And I think the it was a very difficult job he had running a city the size of Austin, and I thought he did a fantastic job. Someone with those leadership skills, but maybe someone that communicates a little bit better. A city manager that has a history with collective bargaining and meet and confer. This is the lifeblood of our associations, and that's what we exist for. Labor benefits and working conditions. A city manager that has experience with that in other cities, I think that's a must. If you're not familiar with that process, it can be a little daunting. I know just getting our new city council caught up with how meet and confer and collective bargaining work has been a chore. There's lots of unanswered questions, and having a city manager that can explain those things would be of big help to us and our citizens. I believe that's all I have to say, and I appreciate you allowing me to be here today, and I'll answer any questions that you have.
Any questions for Mr. Cassaday?
Thank you.
Thank you. And next we have Carol Guthrie representing the Austin Federal State County Municipal Employee Union. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you for being here, and thank you all for taking on this task. My name is Carol Guthrie, and I am with the American Federation of State County Municipal Employees. That's AFSCME. We are the union that represents civilian employees, non-public safety. We have been at the City of Austin since 1969, representing workers. For us, and I've been around for a very, very long time, so I have gone through a number of city managers, and so I think I have a pretty good idea. We've had some really great city managers, we've had some good city managers, and then we've had some not-so-good city managers. So for us and our organization, I think it's imperative that we get a city manager who understands all aspects of city government. Perhaps maybe even worked in other levels of city government before becoming a city manager. I think that's very important. We need a city manager with very strong negotiating skills. There are so many competing interests in Austin these days that I know I would never want to be city manager. There's just so many competing interests. And then, of course, you have all your employee groups also in those competing interests as well. So we need a strong negotiator, a very strong communicator, someone that is not afraid to hold managers accountable. Perhaps because we've had an acting city manager and so many acting directors, it appears that, you know, we are just kind of floating along. And so I hope whatever city manager does get hired here for Austin is able to come in and really make sure that everyone is giving their best to the citizens of Austin and, of course, to the employees as well. It would be fantastic to have a city manager that had a labor background. You probably can find one easily that's familiar with collective bargaining or meet and confer. But it's also important to have a labor background working with a group that does not have meet and confer or collective bargaining. However, we are able to advocate very strongly for our members. And our needs are a little bit different because we don't operate with a contract. So we do things just a little bit differently than the other unions. It would be great if we had someone who knew something about civil service with our civil service commissions. I think that would be very helpful, someone that understands the different rules that govern those commissions and how to work with the groups in order to perhaps make some changes if need be. I want it all, but I know your task is daunting, but I think what would be also great is when we do get our new city manager, I do hope that we do not have a theme attached to something like the last city manager had the best managed city, and we heard that for 10,000 years, and I think there was a lot of dialogue about it. It would just be good to have a city manager that wants to be here and work with our community, work with the employees, and try to be fair and hold people accountable. Thank you.
Any questions for Ms. Guthrie? Yes, Bill.
Yes.
Cheryl.
Hi.
I'm glad you mentioned that thing about the slogan, because I found to my astonishment and delight when I first sat on this task force a few weeks ago that the tagline on the front of all these white sheets that we get, these folders we get, is no longer City of Austin, the best managed city in the country. It now says City of Austin, the best workforce in the country, meaning you and
there you go.
The rest of you guys representing city employees. I think that's a tremendous change for the better.
That is. That's awesome. Good news. Thank
you. Let you know.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good. Any other questions? Thank you so much. All right, that concludes our invited testimony. We will now move into the general public comment, and we begin with Erwin Mazanegos. Did I get that right? And then Mike Burnett is next, followed by Bob Hendricks. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Erwin Mazanegos. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you again. So I represent a group of Austinites, People Power Group, which was a grassroots organization formed by the ACLU. So our issues, one of our issues right now is the immigration policies, and we've had very good discussions with current police chief Brian Manley, and we're very appreciative of his attitudes as far as immigration policies, basically that the police department should not be involved in any kind of immigration actions because it leads to an erosion of trust with the populace. And so we would like the next city manager to be on board with those kind of policies. By the way, these policies are established best practices as established by the Major Cities Police Chiefs Association, something that Brian Manley is apparently a member of and adheres to. And so we just want to make sure that the next city manager also is on board with keeping that the status quo as far as immigration policies. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Burnett. Following Mike will be Bob Hendricks. And then Shane Johnson.
Gentlemen, I believe I've spoken to this once or twice before, so I'll put the same point on. This is the first time I've spoken with the commission. Some of a background with corporate capability coming from an organization with or in excess of 100,000 employees would be beneficial. Everything I've heard here tonight can kind of be bundled into three or four fairly simple categories. Obviously, the larger, more complex organizations have between 25, 50 or more various unions. So labor relations exercises and activities certainly aren't something new to the kind of person that you're looking for. Fiscal responsibility in excess of what the city's current budget is clearly is available in that same environment. And then the rest really kind of falls under a healthy workforce or a healthy working environment. And so that includes your bundling for diversity and so on and so forth throughout the bank. So I believe those to be your three primary characteristics. And, you know, those are the kinds of folks that I've worked with in the past, all of which represent large organizations or have come from larger organizations where they have a significantly higher level of complexity than you're going to see within a city organization. Obviously, some level of public service wouldn't go amiss, but in terms of where you're going and the kinds of problems that you saw within the existing management structure, most of that came out of lack of respect for a healthy work environment. So that's kind of, you know, obviously I've been here before, I've said it before, and now I've said it again. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Thanks for coming out. Bob Hendricks.
Thanks for allowing me to speak. Y'all have a really tough job. And there's two things I would just like to ask for you to seriously consider in the new city manager. I'm a volunteer with 350.org, the Sierra Club, and a number of other climate change organizations. And I think that it is vital that whoever the city manager is, that they understand and accept the significance of the science of climate change and the implications, which won't be hard since most Americans now, even both parties, believe in that. The second quality that I especially would like for you to look for among environmentalists and people who have been working with Austin Energy and the City Council for years, there's a sense that if Austin Energy doesn't like something that the City Council tells them to do, they just ignore it. And the city manager is the key player in making sure the wishes of the City Council are followed. And Austin Energy is, of course, critical to the city of Austin and to our energy and has to balance a lot of issues. But I hope you will find a city manager who will make sure and not ignore, as, for example, the 2014 resolution to move to carbon-free by 2030 just had been completely ignored, that you get a city manager who is serious about managing Austin Energy and making sure the will of the City Council is implemented there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions? All right, Shane Johnson. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for the time to speak and this opportunity for this forum. Hi, everyone. My name is Shane Johnson. I use he, him pronouns. I'm born and raised in Austin. I live in District 7 currently. And I'm also a member of Austin Environmental Justice Team and Austin Justice Coalition, among other grassroots organizations. my thoughts are a little bit scattered. I was writing them down right before walking up. But first off, I'd like to say that some of the skills and necessary skills and abilities include being a good communicator, as was previously said before, the citizen communication. I think someone who doesn't communicate well, that's going to lead to a lot of problems, obviously. And someone who can work with and negotiate with a variety of different type or levels of stakeholders. For instance, could be someone who has experience working with labor unions, but not just unions, but also grassroots organizations that represent people who have worked in service industry or different labor areas. Additionally, some personal characteristics that I think would be really valuable would be someone who, I mean, ideally has lived in Austin for a significant amount of time, so they understand the community. Someone ideally would be, in my opinion, would have the experience of being in a disadvantaged position in terms of lived experiences. So someone who's a minority comes from an under-resourced background. Ideally someone, say, who was from East Austin or grew up there, I think would go a long way to bringing in a new perspective to kind of the upper levels of the city of Austin. and to elaborate a little bit more on what I just previously said in terms of working with grassroots organizations, I think it's important to understand sort of the community's perspectives and community members' perspectives on a range of issues such as labor, fair wages, criminal justice reform, local air pollution, affordable housing, and gentrification, among others, particularly given that the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development describes Austin as one of the most segregated cities in the U.S. And I think that is, there are various aspects of our city the history of our city that need to be looked at and taken very seriously when picking a new city manager. and so that's a big part of why I think there should be someone who understands the importance of grassroots organizations. And also one more point to add, that holds different departments or parts of the city government accountable. For instance, organizations I've worked with work a little bit with Austin Energy, and in terms of that experience, it seems like there isn't quite as much accountability between the city council and the utility, and so the utility can kind of drag its feet and not really do what it's supposed to do over time. So I think a city manager who could rein in Austin Energy or any parts that tend to do that. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here. And you made a comment, I may not have gotten it correctly, but about selecting someone referring to East Austin, mm-hmm. of disadvantaged neighborhood. Looking at Austin, mm-hmm. would you consider or have you considered others from other cities as well as Austin, mm-hmm. as you frame that, or specifically Austin were you referring to?
Well, what I specifically was meaning to convey is that ideally it would be someone who has lived experiences of being in a disadvantaged position. And I mean, there can be very different types of experiences. And going further, I'd say ideally someone who has lived in Austin for a very long time. So if someone who grew up in East Austin, say, whose family was affected by gentrification, or they weren't able to go to as good of a school, something like that would bring in a very new perspective to the upper levels of our city government, and help sort of better represent our community members. And so I say if someone grew up in the projects in a different city but has lived in Austin for a very long time, I think that could also bring in a very helpful and new perspective. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Sylvia Mendoza. If you wish to speak and you have not yet signed up, Sylvia is our last speaker, so go on ahead and sign up if you haven't and want to. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Former Police Chief Art Acevedo was hired mainly because of the Spanish-speaking population. I warned past City Council to let him go twice. Where's Havana-born Art Acevedo now? Where's Michigan-born Mark Ott now? You see my point. Qualifications for city manager must be a native Austinite, roots firmly planted here. Money is not on the brain, only for the benefit of the city and the people of Austin, not for him or her. They have the credentials for the job. I have four sons, two of them geniuses, one in the veterinary field, and he's not even one of the geniuses, one in the military. One was recruited by a headhunter. Have you explored that route already? I also like to add that they also have to work and follow the laws at the national level, because we are being set back 30 years, one hand would not know what the other one is doing if they are not working with the APD and ICE. Just like right now, we've progressed so much that they can run our license plates and they can tell we have insurance or we don't have the right paperwork for our vehicle. So if one hand is not working with the other, they're not working, y'all will be setting us back 40 years, 30 years. So they have to be working with immigration and police. The first priority is protect the American public. They took an oath, and they need to protect the American public first and foremost. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, that concludes our speakers for the evening. We'll move on to agenda item number 5, new business. First up is discussion and possible action regarding the city manager recruitment process, updates on district meetings, public meetings, website to solicit community input, and utilizing 311 to survey the public. I've got a couple of housekeeping items that I'll go over during this point, if that's okay with you all. Everyone should have on their desk an email form that will allow you to receive the city email. If you can sign that and make sure that Sonia gets it, that would be wonderful. You also have on your desk a copy of a memo that Sandra Kirk and I signed this evening, and that will be delivered to all council offices tomorrow. And it basically just captures the recommendation that we made at our last meeting to extend the scope of services for this committee to include conversational interviews with a short list of candidates, and that would be towards the end of this process. You also have from Russell Reynolds some sample candidate position descriptions. I think they bought three or four of those. That was a request from the last meeting, and you should have that. And then I was asked by someone, and y'all are going to have to help me with the website. Several task force members have received names of potential candidates during their public meetings and interactions with the public. There is a mechanism for you to submit those names on the Russell Reynolds website, but I cannot say what the website is. Can you tell us? Yes.
It's citymanager@russellreynolds.com.
Citymanager@russellreynolds.com. So if you receive the name of someone that is interested in becoming a candidate for this, you can submit that name through that email. Great. Yes, Jan.
Job, the job profile, sample job, what did you say?
You should have a packet of three or four, and they were put on your desk. They won't be in the folder. Those were delivered to your desk before the meeting. Are you not seeing it?
No, I'm going to do everything I have, Sandra.
Okay, we'll get them to you. Here they come.
Thank you.
You bet. Another issue I just want to raise to the task force is we have now had invited testimony from, I think, all of the affinity groups that have been invited to speak to us. Today, this is our fourth meeting. Our next public hearing is going to be Saturday, July 8th from 1 to 3, right here in these chambers. Sandra, you raised an issue earlier. You want to frame that up for the task force?
Yeah, I would like to see us go beyond the affinity groups that are connected with the city specifically and open it up a little bit more community-wide to Austin Neighborhoods Council and our Chamber of Commerce and Business communities, and have invited testimony from those groups as well.
Comments, questions, additions to that list? This would be invited testimony, so these will be individuals that represent those groups. They would get a special invitation from the city to come to the Saturday public hearing.
You answered my question. You'd like to see those people at the Saturday, July 8th?
Yeah, that's our final meeting, so that is the opportunity.
Okay.
So I think we would be remiss if we didn't really include those groups as well. That kind of rounds out.
Yes, ma'am. We have a list of other entities that we would normally reach out to in terms of chambers. What I'd like to do is submit that to the chair and co-chair as early as tomorrow to confirm that we have a thorough list of who you'd like for us to invite to that last meeting.
And what are the groups that you mentioned, Sandra? The Chambers of Commerce, the Neighborhood Association?
And I think probably the business community would be on your list, you know, the active members of the community. But some of the ones that we regularly partner with, if there are some of those, are conservancies that might partner with the city. For example, the Walla Creek Conservancy, or if there are others. So that's just off the top of my head, but I'd be happy to see your list. And
sure, I'll work with Economic Development to pull those neighborhood associations, because I want to be thorough in terms of which ones you're looking at.
Well, what we were trying to capture with the district meetings would have been the neighborhood associations for that particular district. What we are looking for in general would perhaps be Austin Neighborhoods Council that represents all of them.
Okay.
And so I think once we catch that, now they actually wanted Laura and me to attend their meeting, but their meeting occurs tonight at the exact same time. And so this is their regularly scheduled meeting, so we were obviously unable to do that. Okay. So we would like to extend them an invitation to come, particularly at this last meeting.
Duly noted. Thank you.
Okay, so the list right now is the Chambers of Commerce, the Umbrella Neighborhood Association, ANA, right? ANC.
Austin Neighborhoods Council.
There are five or six local conservancies, Waller Creek, Shoal Creek, Onion Creek. Those should be easy to find. Walter, you had a comment. And then
Austin Arrow.
Arrow, okay.
Yeah, I echo that position. But I would also add any of the major advocacy groups, particularly on the civil rights end. I think they would have an interest in providing comment on this.
Absolutely.
And you know, maybe some of the major religious groups.
I just want to set some level of expectation where that meeting is going to be next Saturday, and I have 4th of July between that. So we will certainly do our best to reach out to as many groups as possible in the attempt of getting them to participate. But I do want to set some level of expectation based on the timing that we have between now and July 8th.
Yeah, and I think from my perspective, just inviting them is a big step.
Okay, we'll make sure
we do that. I have one. DAA, Downtown Austin Alliance. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sandra, did you have a comment or an addition?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think if they just...
Yes, Julio.
I'm going to email you some additional suggestions, and if possible, it would be great to review the list since we're going big. Oh. I just want to make sure... all the groups that I assume are going to be included are included if we're going with the big list. I think that'd be it would be useful. The second thing, and I don't know, I defer to you, Madam Chair and Madam Vice Chair, but because of the time constraints, their level of engagement, the fact that the next meeting is 4th of July weekend on a Saturday, I personally, you know, will read all of their submitted written testimony. So if that's a route that some of the groups want to take, especially groups that might not have the capability to turn around a person but definitely have a position, I don't know what the appropriate phrasing is, but I will definitely commit to reading their written comments. I think it's very important. And also having been on the other side of this, of people engaging as a stakeholder and saying, hey, come on Saturday to chat, there might be a queue. I want to make sure that they understand that the expectation is that if they submit written testimony, at least some of the task force members are going to peruse it with great attention.
So all of the entities for which you've already articulated receive the original information through our PIO distribution. What we will do is to resend information out to that same distribution list with an attempt to have some more one-on-one invitations to those for which you've identified here on the dais.
That'd be great.
Okay. That was my original expectation. And if we could attach the typical RSVP type things so that we have some idea who's coming, because we may have to adjust our time. Since this will be our last meeting, it might be necessary. If we get, if the list is that expanded and we have a lot of people signed up, would it be possible to expand the period of time that we're taking testimony either to another 30 minutes or really hold exactly to the three-minute format?
The way that they're posting the agendas, it only has the start time, even though on our work plan we indicated an end time. As a matter of protocol, we don't put that on the agenda. So the meeting will begin on Saturday at 1, and it will end when we're through with our business.
Well, we'll have to make sure that we have council chambers for that period of time. Mm-hmm. That
we and we've set aside 2 hours. We've reserved 2 hours, so we'll go back and attempt to reserve some additional time in case you'll need it for additional communication. What I'd like to do is probably on Wednesday after the holiday give you somewhat of an update as a full task force on how many we've been able to reach out so that you have some concept. I think we could quickly resend information with a little bit more clarity of invitation through the main distribution, but I'll have staff begin as early as tomorrow and potentially Monday try to reach out to these individual groups that you specifically named in an attempt to try to get them to the table on July 8th.
Dan.
Sandra. You're saying, you've said a number of times, so you're saying the last public meeting is what you mean, not the last meeting, just
no.
where they're coming forward.
Because our meeting following this coming meeting
right.
will be dedicated to us trying to synthesize our,
right.
our all of the information that we've gathered. So we will be out of the gathering phase and kind
right,
of
right,
into
right.
the making sense of it.
And there will still be an opportunity for citizens to speak at that meeting, which, by the way, is going to be on July 12th, beginning at 2 at Town Lake Center Assembly Room. At that meeting, we will receive a draft profile from Russell Reynolds, and our discussion will center around whether or not that draft profile responds to the feedback that we've received in these citywide public hearings, but also feedback that you received in your task force meetings. And your summary of your task force meetings is due on July 5th? July 5th.
And you are correct. We will have a draft spec ready for the committee to review with the information and ready to have discussions about it as well.
Right. And I think one of the things we can clarify is when we resubmit information out to the community, a request for something in writing if they choose not to attend is a clarity that may also reach some of the needs that you've requested.
Is that agreeable to everybody? And if you've got groups that you want to be sure are included in this invited testimony, please submit those to the Human Resources staff.
And just in case, if you have contact information that may also be helpful, to minimize me trying to reach out and identify that appropriate person to contact in the time frame.
And also, just to clarify and make sure we know to whom to send all of our feedback. So that goes to Sonia, as
yes,
usual?
Ma'am.
Okay, so not to each other, but to Sonia. Although I am dying
just,
to see what you all came up
with. I thought that last time we just saw, we've already done ours, and
I saw
thought
yours.
It was to send it to Russell Reynolds and to you and to Sonia, which we did, and I sent it in respect to the council member who had the meeting.
What we agreed to last time is that you would send your feedback to Sonia and to Russell Reynolds.
Oh, okay.
And then I loved it that you copied me, so thank
Sorry.
You.
Okay.
Shawnee.
Just a clarification, is the Chamber of Commerce include Minority Chamber and the Greater Austin Chamber of Commerce?
That was my intent. We'll make sure that that's covered that way, Chani. Okay, any other comments around this subject? Yes, Perla.
Will we get a draft? I guess this is a question for Russell Reynolds. Well, how much in advance of the meeting will we get the draft report of the synthesized input?
We typically we know about 48 hours before or 24 hours before any meeting, but for this particular case we'll send it out 2 days before. That way everyone has enough time to collect their thoughts and feedback so we can be productive.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question too. The feedback that has been gathered in these general sessions, I noticed that many of us take our own personal notes, and staff is also taking notes, but are the staff notes kind of flushed out in terms of the meat of the comments, or are they more like our meeting minute notes, because we actually need the context and the content? Do we need to provide that?
I've been taking notes throughout the meeting as well, and we have had received several survey responses too from general staff about what they like to see. It's just bringing everything together. But if there's
something that's perfect. If you've been taking the notes,
oh, absolutely. And so is Steve, and we've been meeting to discuss themes and what we're seeing together.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're also asking all groups who came before you to synthesize their information in writing. Some has brought it today. For those that didn't, we'll reach back out so you'll have something in writing from all of those who came formally.
Right. Do you have any updates on the city survey that's out to city employees now? You want to give us a quick update?
Absolutely. We have we sent the survey out and have already received over 100 plus responses to it, which is a great hit rate all around. And we're looking forward to receiving more as time goes on. So that's great. And we thank everyone who's participated in it.
Excellent. Any other business that you all want to discuss around the process? The only other item we have under new business is a continued discussion on the recommendation of the task force's role beyond phase one of the city manager recruitment process. I covered the basics with you all, which is that we've captured that recommendation in a memo to go to, it'll be delivered to each of the council offices tomorrow. But the scope, that will not happen unless and until City Council puts it on a future agenda and takes action on it. So just know that, and you might want to reach out to your council offices and encourage them to sponsor an agenda item doing just that. Comments, questions? Have we missed anything? Is there anything we need to be thinking about that's on your mind? Yes, sir.
So our document to Sonia and Russell Reynolds by 11:59 p.m. July 5th.
Yes, sir.
All right. Got
yes,
it.
Sir.
That's the homework.
For you, 11:59.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Is there any other new business? Is there anything that you would like to see on a future agenda? We've got one more public hearing, and then we're going to move into the meat of reviewing a work product. We've got two meetings, so let me just review the schedule. Saturday, July 8th is our last task force public meeting. It'll begin at 1 here in the City Council chambers. Wednesday, July 12th at Town Lake Center Assembly Room, we will begin at 2, and there we will begin reviewing the draft of the city manager recruitment profile. We've also got a meeting scheduled for Wednesday, July 19th, beginning at 2, also at Town Lake Center. And that is our final, right now that's our final meeting. If we need more meetings, well then we'll schedule more meetings. But at that meeting right now, what is anticipated is that we would vote on a recommendation to the City Council, and then we would move that recommendation forward to whatever the next available City Council meeting is, present that product to them, and have them accept that. And then Russell Reynolds, who I'm assuming has already to some extent begun the recruiting process, will have the profile to continue the recruiting process. All right. Yes, sir. Julio.
Before we depart, I just wanted to make sure three information requests. We all kind of heard them clearly and in the same language. One was the metrics bundle from Mr. Marquardt. A second was the study around different city groups and their pay levels, so that we could get a little bit more granular on some of the disparities that were testified, so that we can understand a bit better. And then what I will just call the big list, so that we can all make sure that the groups that we expect will be invited to once again give feedback in person or in writing, we will get to do some quality assurance to make sure the groups that we expect are on there.
Yes, and I will probably bring the presentations to all three quality of lives with us to the 8th meeting, so that you can have that at that meeting and be available to answer any questions. For the purposes of clarification, if I could, mm-hmm. Madam Chairman, I want to clarify that the city of Austin still has the same city theme, but the one on here that says the best workforce in the country is just because they're HR notebooks. So I didn't want you leaving thinking that something had changed. Wanted to be clear on that. Thank you, sir.
He burst his balloon there.
I'm going to take back all the good things I've been saying about you.
All right. I think that concludes the business of this task force this evening. Is there a motion to adjourn? We've got a second. All right. Thank you, Walter. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.